Let us pray. Father God, as we explore your word this morning, open our ears so that we may listen to your voice. Open our minds that we may meditate and reflect on your word. Open our hearts that we may be filled with love for you and for others. Speak to each one of us this morning. May we pause, reflect, and listen to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Two very different readings, one from the Psalms and one from Colossians. What links them is God's active voice, God's action in humanity. This morning, I want us each to consider three questions. Who is Jesus to us? How well do we listen to him? And how do we put our faith into action? Now, I've used the pronouns we, us, and our to represent our church community. But they are far more significant on a personal level, as it is only through our personal relationship with Jesus that our faith is reflected in the community of the church and the community beyond the church. My first point this morning is that Christ is all and is in all. Christ is all and is in all. The first few verses of our reading from Colossians this morning are an example of one of the earliest Christian hymns. It's very much like a creed, a statement of belief, a recognition as to the person of Jesus. It's a hymn of celebration, celebrating both the supremacy of Christ and his acts of reconciliation in creation. We're going to explore each Bible verse in turn, and as we explore each verse, consider how that verse speaks of our faith in Christ. Verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. In this one verse alone, there are two fundamental points. Says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, this word image does not mean a likeness or a similarity. It's emphasizing that Jesus is God. God is physically revealed to humanity through Jesus. When you see Jesus, you see God. When Jesus is teaching, God is teaching. When Jesus heals, God is healing. Jesus, the firstborn above all creation. Some people, while recognizing that Jesus really did exist, believe that he was only a prophet or a good teacher or a good man. This verse, though, rejects that idea. As well as being the image of the invisible God, he's the firstborn above all creation, before all things. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed, but the Christmas adverts have started already. Christmas trees are being advertised on the television. And so I thought I'd come up with an Advent reading this morning to link it in. Words from John's prologue, John chapter 1, which we read at Christmas. It states this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Colossians 1, verse 16. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus is the creator and the king. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I think every sermon that I've preached over the past couple of years or so have been talking about times of uncertainty. And every time I come, things seem to be more uncertain. In these times of apparently increasing uncertainty, it's encouraging to read these words. There may be uncertainty, but through Jesus, all things are ultimately held together. He is in control. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Jesus is the head of the church. Just as our heads, our brains control our bodies, Jesus should be in charge of the church. We should be listening to him and following him. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. Linking it back to that very first verse, the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. All of God's qualities and his activities, his spirit, his word, his wisdom, and his glory are perfectly displayed in Jesus. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Well, verses 15 to 19 look at the person of Jesus. Verse 20 focuses on the purpose of his ministry among humanity. He came to offer humanity salvation, to reconcile humanity back to God, to make each one of us holy and acceptable before God, to become part of his family. Through his death on the cross, through the shedding of his blood on the cross, the penalty of sin had been paid, and those who believed in him are reconciled back to God. Paul continues with the word once. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as holy in his heart, in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. We have the past and we have the now, the before and the after. Once you were, but now you are. So Christ is all and in all. My second point, taking that time to listen. I asked the question earlier, who are you more like, Mary or Martha? And as Joe said, both loved God. Our lives are so busy. There are so many sources of information around us, so many opportunities, so many things to do. I hated history at school, but now I love history. The Industrial Revolution of the 18th and 19th centuries changed society forever. The establishment of mass production and factories changed industry, created huge cities and towns. Then there was the railways, transporting goods, services and people over ever-increasing distances. And we still say, hey, well, I wasn't born when the railway closed in Haverhill. But when it be, one thing about living in the village of Elmsall, we have a railway station and I can travel on the train. Love traveling on the train. So much less stressful than getting stuck in traffic jams. Haverhill had a railway. It'd be great to get on the railway to Cambridge. The railway brought people closer together. People could travel over long distances. People no longer had to live their whole life in towns or villages. They were able to travel. A number of years ago, the computer brought about the technological revolution, which increases exponentially year on year, even now. 20 years ago, we were amazed by email. Now we use apps like FaceTime or Skype to look at the person we're conversing with, perhaps over the other side of the world. Think about the mobile phone you have and what it can do. 50 years ago, man landed on the moon. But there is more technology in our phones than in that capsule. We have so much information. We have so many opportunities. We are so busy. Are we like Mary or Martha? As a teacher, words I often use in class and in parents' meetings are, they need to listen. They need to focus. They need to listen. You need to listen. And I'm sure those parents among you will know you've said that word many times. You need to listen. While it's true that we learn from experience, we also learn from someone who has something to teach us. Someone with greater knowledge, greater wisdom and expertise. When I was reading this passage about Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha and how Mary sat listening to Jesus, the word apprentice and apprenticeship came to mind. Now, I'm not talking about the BBC series with Alan Sugar, but the concept, the historical concept, again, of an apprentice who learned their craft from a master craftsman, whether that was a chimney sweep, a blacksmith, a watchmaker, whatever trade there was. A master craftsman would hire an apprentice who would learn that skill. The master craftsman would provide lodgings, skills, and moral guidance, most often for a period of 7 years. I thought 3 years at university was a long time. And I think about doctors today, when you hear about doctors having 7 years of training, you think that's a long time. But this was the standard amount of time for being an apprentice. Our faith can be likened to becoming an apprentice, albeit our one lasts a lifetime. We need to be listening and learning from God, from Jesus, our Lord and Savior, reading his word, praying to him, participating in worship, but most importantly, making time to listen to him. So often our lives can be so busy that we miss out on that important step. And I will say, I am very, very guilty of that. Failing to take the time to sit at Jesus' feet and simply listen to him. Mary was doing the right thing, because rather than being distracted by the busyness going on around her, she listened to the most important thing. She listened to Jesus. So Christ is all in all. We need to take the time to listen. And then we need to put our faith into action. Verses 23 and 24. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Once we come to faith, we have to continue in that faith, established and firm. Like Paul, we are called to be servants of the gospel, to serve the word, to follow Jesus and to serve God. It means turning away from our old ways and following God's way. Our first reading from Psalm 52 contains a very interesting pattern. It begins with someone who is following their own agenda, someone who is doing wrong in the sight of God. An example of someone who is far away from God. Listen again to verses 1 to 4. Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long? You who are a disgrace in the eyes of God, you who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Now contrast this with verses 8 and 9. The psalmist writes, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good. How much more positive are these two verses? Words like flourishing, trusting, and hoping. The image of an olive tree planted in the kingdom of God, receiving its nutrients from God himself, trusting in God's unfailing love, praising God, and hoping in God. The difference between the first four verses and the last two verses are the divine action of God, and focuses on those who reject God and follow their own agenda. Surely God will bring down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. God is addressing those who reject him. The divine action of God is the one thing that both judges and saves. All people will be judged, but those who believe and trust and follow Jesus will be saved. Mary did the right thing in sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. She recognized and knew the key importance of putting Jesus first, of taking the time to listen to him. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, for your teaching, for your sacrifice, and for your love. Thank you that through your death on the cross, we can have a restored relationship with God, an eternal relationship, being part of his kingdom. Help us to continue in our walk of faith with you. May we all make time to sit at your feet and listen to you. Amen.